It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy to have you with me now. Nate had to bail. Me and Zach Jones hanging out here on a Tuesday, well, evening now, on WGR. Mike Shope is off this week. 803-0550 is the number if you are so inclined to join the show at this point in time. I did today, I guess just in time, because when I got done with the fifth and final episode of the New York Giants Hard Knocks show on, do we have to call it Max now?
I mean, I go back and forth between Max and HBO.
What does the I should pay attention to this. I'm rewatching shows, but I don't know that they count because they were under the HBO umbrella. This Hard Knocks, when it does that screen, you know, the HBO screen.
Yeah.
Does it say Max or HBO now?
Ooh, I haven't paid attention. I think it might actually say Max.
Yeah.
I think this is the key, is if you're streaming it, it's Max. So when you like use the app or what have you.
Yeah.
But if you use like the TV, like, you know, HBO used to have like the actual like box that you got, I think that's still considered HBO. It's all confusing. There's no reason for that.
Right. See,
you're checking it now?
I want to see, yeah.
That's good.
I just went to my Max app, and it's at the end of the episode. That's not going to help.
That's not ideal.
That's where I left off. Let's see. No, it says HBO Original.
Oh, okay.
On right. there. So it wasn't the thing, okay. But it should have started from there, but it didn't. But it says HBO Original. So anyway, sorry, just a curiosity for myself how they're branding their own, you know, their own things in-house. But I got done, and at the end, it said, or maybe even before the episode started, the new training camp episodes are going to be starting up, I think, maybe
tonight.
Tonight. Okay, yep. Right. Okay. And as I'm saying this, I can't remember who that's featuring.
The Chicago Bears.
The Chicago Bears. Okay. Absolutely. All right. Well, I got to say, I've never. Since like Sopranos and The Wire went away, I have not been an HBO subscriber. Just wasn't frequent enough to me. I don't care about Game of Thrones. There's too many dragons. It's not my vibe. I mean, I'm sorry. I know it's really hot and like people get beheaded and there's sex and stuff, but I don't care.
It's pretty wild.
You got dragons.
It's a good time.
I'm out. That's it.
I mean, that's fair. That's
a pretty hard and fast rule. Wizards, that's warlocks, totally dragons, I'm done. No, I can't do it. So, you know, HBO just sort of lost its appeal to me, but our friend Nick Bakay's show being on there, it took me a little while to get there. And so I've never really embraced, I mean, I wasn't against it. I love behind the scenes sports documentaries. This Giants thing is about as good as, I've seen mostly highlights, maybe an episode here or there of the training camp Hard Knocks. I didn't see any of the in-season thing they did. I think they debuted that last year or the year before.
I think it's two seasons, yeah, because we've had Arizona and Indianapolis so
okay.
far.
So I didn't have the subscription then, so I never got into it. So I'm relatively green when it comes to the Hard Knocks experience. This Giants off-season thing was great.
Oh, I tweeted out maybe after episode three or so, like it's the first sports documentary series, whatever you want to call it, that I've like anticipated the next release and like kind of like finished the episode and go, come on, I want the next one in a long time. It is the first time in a long time. I haven't watched Hard Knocks, like sat down and watched it since like, I think Cleveland, when they were on it with like Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley.
Yeah.
I think that was the last time. I haven't touched the in-season ones. I'm kind of into the idea of like the whole division of the AFC North. But like this is the first time I'm like, this is what I want to see. It's not the same old cliche of like, here's the really tragic backstory of a guy that's probably going to get cut, but in five episodes you're going to love him.
Right.
And then here's, you know, the quarterback, likely a first overall pick, or like I remember when Tampa was on, like here's Jameis Winston. If he gets hurt, everyone here is going to get fired. So every time like there's like a slight touch, like we're going to play dramatic music, Lee Schreiberg's going to get you all excited with his narration.
Right.
It got very stale. Like, this felt new and fresh, even though it's still Hard Knocks, and you know there's still some editing that makes it look good.
Of course, but they Here's what I'm wanting, and why I even thought to bring it up, because I've been wanting to talk with you about this, because I know I saw you tweeting about the incident, so I knew that, that you dug it. You know, it's been so nice out mostly for a while. I started this, I don't know how, one episode a week, right?
Yep.
So, I don't know, a month ago or so, I started watching it, and then just, you know, I lost track because, you know, I was outside instead of riding my bike in the basement or playing golf when I'm not riding my bike. One or the other every day. So I got back to it tonight, this morning, finished off the two episodes I had to finish. And what I hope is that when as they continue, I'm sure they will do that show again next year with some other team leading up to, you know, free agency and the draft and all this that they did with the Giants. I wonder how much more careful the team that ends up being chosen to do that, how much power they have to insist that there's more editing than there even was.
Mm-hmm.
Because even something as seemingly harmless, innocuous as Joe Shane, Giants GM, sitting in his office with his family on the afternoon of the draft, asking his kids, like, who do you want me to pick?
Oh, yeah.
And the son says, Jaden Daniels, you only get this job once. Don't screw it up, or something to that effect, right? Just go for it. You go get a quarterback. I know that's just Joe Shane's kid, right? But imagine being Daniel Jones and you're right? Just in general, the Giants franchise, the whole thing. I mean, does Daniel Jones know what's going on around him? Of course he does, right? He knows his injury history. He knows his salary. He knows his performance. And so he's got to know he's on, you know, thin ice, to be kind. Like, it's not going to be long. But all of this, like, call New England. Call whoever. Like,
the Combine episode I felt terrible
just
for.
Just go, you know, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'd move up for Jaden Daniels. Oh, yeah.
Dable. When Drake May's at the board,
right,
and you can see Dable, like, falling in love as
right,
it's happening.
Right, like,
I felt really bad for Daniel Jones.
Yeah, like, that's tough. I mean, I just wonder if they'll be less liberal with that moving forward. Like, because it's a tough spot, I think, for the people, like for Joe Shane, for Brian Daboll. They got to go try to prop Daniel Jones up and have a good year here. Their jobs maybe depend on it. I mean, I don't know. And we know, I think, with great certainty, like, teams strive at news conferences to not let you know what they really think about anything that matters. And Daniel Jones just completely got pantsed. The whole show is like, we got a $40 million quarterback. I'm not going to hand it off to a $12 million running back. Like, dude.
It was that for me. And I've seen other people say, like, Joe Shane came out of this looking really bad. I was the opposite. I thought he looked really good and was dealing with bad ownership and, like, bad internal guys that were there before him.
Dude.
Like, I'm not saying Shane came off perfect, but,
what,
like,
what is I didn't feel one way or the other, really. I was very, very neutral, I guess, watching the show. I guess I like him, I guess, the way he's presented. What are the criticisms? That he was so critical of Daniel Jones?
I think it was critical of Daniel Jones, and it was also handling the ownership. In John Mara, I think, is the ownership.
Sure.
And just kind of how uncomfortable he was. I mean, openly uncomfortable at the idea of getting rid of Saquon Barkley, and they would pan to him, and, like, he's smiling at his desk and just kind of hanging out, and, like, he didn't really put in, like, too much of an effort to go and actually get Saquon Barkley. It kind of was like, dude, here's the offer. We're not getting past that. I know Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports kind of also was like, dude, if, like, your owner wants you to go get a guy, you kind of do everything to go get a guy, and it's not really how Shane portrayed himself. But that's where, like, what is this, 2 weeks ago, Mike went off and said, the Giants are a terrible organization. I left this going, yeah, they're a really badly run organization that is being saved by, I still believe Dable's a very good coach. I think Joe Shane has at least a good head on his shoulders. But they're an organization that is so still running the, what's our identity? And Mara, like, going, like, I mean, you know, Saquon Barkley's our most popular player. And it's like, you know who's going to be your most popular player? A great quarterback. Or now Malik Nabers, who is essentially their offense at camp.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, I loved it, but like I think that's where you're going to see maybe more like a pullback. Because you're right. Like teams have this Cold War era secrecy where like no one can know like any of our emotions at anything. And I feel Bean almost has like a hard time doing that. I think that's where you're going to see teams go like, No. It's because I think the ownership came off on this looking pretty bad.
Yeah, I think I really enjoyed when we talked about this. You're right. We did talk about this, I don't know, in depth, but last week or the week before with Mike. So I made the point about how Mara comes off like, I'm letting the guy do his job. And that's what I think we sort of landed on talking about that I hadn't really thought of watching it, which made me feel this is different. I felt gullible. Mike was the savvy one. Like, they're just presenting that way because Mara has a reputation for meddling. So they're trying to like make Giants fans feel like, well, at least the owner got out of the way on Saquon Barkley. And like in reality, like I wonder how much of that was all just staged. Right?
Oh, yeah.
In the end. But yeah, the show to me, very high marks for the show overall. I mean, if you have the subscription and haven't gotten to it yet, I mean, the Max or HBO subscription and haven't gotten to it yet. Yeah, I highly recommend it. I really liked it because it I think you could feel people who are involved in it maybe being made uncomfortable by the subject matter, and that's the best. Like you feel like you're getting something that's real. So yeah, I wouldn't criticize Shane for just talking about doing his job the way he's going to do his job. And being sort of flippant about Barkley, I think that's totally how it came off. Like, oh yeah, like give us a chance to come back to you is just an opportunity to save face. I think Barkley laid that out pretty clearly in an interview he's done post, you know, having seen these episodes that were about him. Like he knows how the world works. You know,
didn't realize he was being recorded on that phone call, which was interesting.
Oh yeah, right.
I was like, ooh, I don't necessarily know the laws in that sense, but I'm like, is that illegal in New Jersey or New York State? That might not be good.
Well, I'm assuming if they put it in the episode
they were fine.
That they were okay there. But yeah, excellent. Have you kept up on Receiver? Or did you ever start Receiver? You have Netflix, right?
I use my girlfriend's. Okay. I think I watched like two episodes. It was between that and the Dallas Cowboys cheerleader documentary that we were watching together. I watched two episodes of Receiver. I've really enjoyed how they've done those. Those, I think, have been fantastic. Quarterback and then wide receiver. My biggest takeaway, though, is I never want a Buffalo Bill a part of those at all. I want no part of it.
Why?
I need them to win first. It's not a distraction. I don't think it is.
Uh-huh.
But in my mind, I'm like, I don't need a camera crew following around Josh Allen or, you know, if Stephon Diggs was still on the team, or if they wanted to do a rookie and like Keon Coleman, like, I don't need that.
I knew last year around this time was when, you know, we were talking about that quarterback series. I think last summer was when that dropped on Netflix, similar timing with this Receiver series. And I remember feeling that way about Allen. Like I definitely do not want this right now. Mm-hmm. Like on the heels of whatever happened at the end of the 22 season to begin with, like the drama with he and Diggs and like whatever else has got, like, I don't think this is the time for this. And interestingly enough, they pivoted to Receivers. I like the content a lot, but I've only watched, I think, the first or maybe two episodes of the Receiver thing. So I have a lot
to
make up on. But
I got to the point where Devontae Adams was basically ready to fight Jimmy Garoppolo. I think it's maybe like episode two or like beginning of three where it's just like, oh, he hates what's going on right now. That's kind of where I got.
Yeah.
Because, oh, man.
I'm there. I'm here for that.
Garoppolo's PR is incredible.
I'm here for that. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. That, you know, I know, I think I say this all the time whenever I'm complimenting these sorts of shows. Like, well, of course, I know what we're watching is presented as real and it's real enough, but it also is edited and managed and it's carefully put out into the world, right? There's usually, you're not, that's why the Giants thing was so notable to me, because there were, I don't know, incendiaries a little too strong, but there were things in it that I was surprised were in it, I guess is how I would say it. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, really? Okay.
I think you can also argue, too, that like even with the editing, it still came off that way.
Right.
So then it makes you kind of lean into like, all right, how bad was it actually? If you fully believe in like they've edited this to make them look good, like the John Mara stuff. In my mind, then I'm like, Okay, then he had to have meddled way worse if that's how he's coming off right. And he finds his positive.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yes. So, yeah, I mean, and I think these networks that put these shows out at this time of the year are pretty smart about doing it. Because I don't know about in-season Hard Knocks. Like, when the season is on, my football cup will be just absolutely bursting at the seams between, like, just the show and the Bills and the rest of the league and all two of my fantasy teams. I'll just have a lot on my plate. So I don't think I'll be seeking out other football content, but this is the time of the year. I mean, we've got the Olympics and baseball, yep. And like the golf majors are done. The Olympics are going to end this weekend, and we're still sort of waiting in the starting gate for football to really fire up. And these shows fill a very good void.
Right, well, they now. Really do. And I think the thing is, too, is that the in-season one, I think, is a great idea. But I think you're right. Like, for a lot of people, they almost seem oversaturated with football. And especially if you're someone like me, I heavily follow college football. So then that's also another thing where, like, I'm following that and keeping track of that. I did see, and I don't know if I totally love this, they want to release that season in, like, December. So you're going to, like, kind of, like, go back in time.
Yeah.
Here's what was, like, leading up to it. I am interested, though, in, like, the entire AFC North and the whole division doing it. But I talked with Chris Mack, who covers the Steelers over in Pittsburgh, and even he said it, and I've talked to a few other people who feel the same way, is, like, a team is going to be left on, like, the cutting room floor, though. Like, it's you're not going to get all four. Someone's going to be the boring team that just you don't hear about, and, like, anyone in the AFC North could be that. Because, like, if Baltimore goes on, like, a huge run, it'll be like, it's the Ravens. Like, this is what they do. You know, Bengals kind of.
I don't know about a big run for the Ravens. They're fifth in today's reverse AFC power rankings.
I'm glad we're pushing this agenda.
They're going the wrong way.
Me and Sneaky Joe are talking about it on Twitter. I am happy to push this agenda. The vibes are bad there. And I feel. I don't like saying this because I like Lamar Jackson as a quarterback. I don't think it is talked about enough how he had what some argue should have been in a unanimous MVP season, and he had 29 touchdowns. That is not good for a modern 2023-24 quarterback, and yet, like, that's argued to death. He finished second in, like, the player voting for, you know, top 100 players in the NFL, and that doesn't mean too much. But for me, it just kind of feels like we treat the Baltimore Ravens with kids' gloves, and we really should be harder on them. They've had the one seed twice, and they've won a single playoff game.
A lot of that might be that they're the criticism of Jackson was so unjust and unwarranted when he came out that I think people who have, I would describe myself this way, who have mostly supported him and wanted to really punch back against the absurd he should become a wide receiver or whatever nonsense that was out there. So you end up sort of wanting to back up your initial stance and not move off it. So you're maybe a little more forgiving, but yeah, I agree. I agree with the premise. I mean, I don't know about them going the wrong way entirely, but the MVP stuff, I've said a few times, the idea that he's the MVP and we all know it, and why did they throw it so much in the playoff game? Yeah,
those are such contradictory statements.
Yeah, that's a little weird. I mean, that's not how the MVP is decided, but still. Like, I don't know. It's weird.
It's very weird, and it's just I've gotten this point. I think there's a big overcorrection because of, and I agree with the premise of just, like, there was too much.
Yeah.
I mean, banging on him for the 2018 draft class. I think now people just have gone too far over to Jackson's amazing. Like, Mike has brought up a lot of, like, he's got two MVPs. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And I could still argue, like, really? Is he?
I don't think there's anyone that's got to that's not in. So
exactly.
That's pretty much a skeleton key to get in through the door. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll get back to the Bills specifically. Matt Beauvais was with us earlier today, and we're going to bring you that conversation. He's the sports director at Channel 7, also co-host of the wildly popular It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with our buddy Sal. So stay tuned for that. Back into the Bills as we continue here on a Tuesday with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog. You're listening to WGR.